Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, May 22nd, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my justified twin brother, John Abaya.
I'm here to save the city because I'm part of the game that you're going to mention later, right?
Is that your Joker's voice?
Yes. Or do you want to know how I got these scars?
That's Bane you're doing.
City. Wait, something take over the city. The dark, I rise, I live.
Is it Superman?
Or is it Venom now? You can say too.
Oh yeah,
right?
It's Venom. He's not in the DC universe, so it wouldn't.
No. But the person playing Bane was announced to play Venom next year in an unrelated movie to the MCU that's branching off to make the Spidey MCU. I don't know.
The Spidey MCU. Oh yeah, yeah. Because of Homecoming. Yeah. Anyway, that's my brother doing amazing impressions of everyone but Batman, which is weird because I feel like
Batman's kind of hard. You have to be like a seasoned crime fighter to like actually do his voice. Like, people don't know Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney. They fought on the streets. They were literally doing
vigilantes.
What, vigilantism. Is that even a word?
No.
Whatever city they're from, and they dressed up, and then they got really into the part. Fun note, Christian Bale did not do that. He was naturally the best Batman.
I'm pretty sure. No, he wasn't. No, he was a method actor. So he when he became Bruce Wayne, he was like, he actually, you know,
inherited
billions of dollars and opened up his own company called Bale.
He hired what's his name, Lucas Fox, or was the actor Morgan Freeman?
Yes,
to be the head.
Even
of
Morgan
his Freeman's technology.
A method actor. Yeah,
yeah, he is. Yeah, he doesn't do any of that method. He's naturally just a great actor.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of the few actors that voice God. You know that?
Yeah,
right?
I do know that.
Another person, I think he voiced the devil. No, never mind.
He never voiced the devil.
I don't know. That would be cool. He should do one time voice. You sure? I feel like he did do a voice of
like
the devil.
A joke or something? I don't think so.
Okay, never mind then.
Anyway, moving on. First off, apologies that we haven't been recording the past couple weekends. Past couple of weeks. We've just been fairly busy, and I'm pretty sure this next couple weeks will probably be busy too. But we thank you for listening, and if you have gotten this far in listening to us, we appreciate it, and keep on listening. That's it. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the video game Injustice 2. Looking forward to that because I think you and I did something a little bit different, and I won't tell unless the listener keeps on listening. But before all of that, we have a trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is a television show titled Star Trek Discovery.
I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save all of you. Its neck, cut off its head. Starfleet doesn't fire first. We have to.
My people were biologically determined for one purpose alone, to sense the coming of death. I sense it coming now.
That is a clip from the Star Trek Discovery trailer. This show is created by Brian Fuller, Alex Kurtzman, but the showrunners are Gretchen J. Berg and Aaron Hartzberg. I believe Brian Fuller had to exit because his other projects, like American Gods and other things, I think he's developing other shows, which took too much of his time. So he relied it on his, executive producers from his other shows, because Gretchen J. Berg and Aaron Harbert, they were executive producers for Pushing Daisies and Wonderfalls, which Brian Fuller also created. So it's kind of cool that they get to show run a show that was originally from him. Anyway, this is based on Gene Roddenberry's property, which is Star Trek. This is from Wikipedia, so I'm not using IMDb because IMDb didn't really have a description yet. Set roughly 10 years before the events of the original Star Trek series, Star Trek Discovery follows the crew of the USS Discovery as they discover new worlds and civilizations while exploring the franchise's signature contemporary themes. The season-long storyline revolves around an incident and an event in Star Trek history that's been talked about but never been explored. That is interesting. I didn't even know they had like an event. The television show stars Shaniqua, Martin Green, and Michelle Yeoh, and an entire cast of wonderful actors, which I will not pronounce their names. John, what's your thoughts about the trailer so far?
I like how it opened on a desert planet. It made it feel like it was Star Wars when Rey was entering. Even the outfits of the main two leads, it seems like Shaniqua plays Michael, or it's Michelle or Michael. I want to say Michael Burnham. It's on IMDb.
I don't know who that is.
No, she plays that. It's not Michelle, right? You don't say Michelle, huh?
Are you Mikkel or Michelle?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess. And then Michelle Yeoh plays Captain Jurio. Oh, God, I can't even say that last name. But they open up with them too in the desert, and they look like they were wearing like straight off from Star Wars Rey's outfit. Even with down to like the little scars and the way it's prepared. So I don't know if they're going after that vibe of like, you know, the way it looks, because I never really seen a Star Trek with that those type of outfits. Maybe I haven't watched like a lot of Star Treks. The only one I said in the past, the Voyager is the only one, and I don't really remember them going to a desert planet and actually changing their clothes into a like a desert outfit and stuff like that. So that was interesting. I you could tell which what type of show they wanted to present and everything. And in the trailer, it seems like Shiniko's character is half Klingon. Or not Klingon. Is it Klingon?
No, I think...
What is Spock?
I totally forgot. It blanks my mind. I'm not like a huge Star Trek fan, so I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But so we were ruining like the mythology of this show, basically. But like you say, it takes place 10 years before the first Star Trek. So I'm wondering what timeline are they doing? Are they doing the movie timeline, or are they doing the original timeline? Because like judging by the outfits, it looks more like that one show that had the Quantum Leap guy.
Enterprise. It was just called Enterprise.
It looks like their Starfleet outfits look more tradition to that. It looks like it's evolved version of those outfits with the blue and like this one has a gold outline and a silver outline.
I believe it is ready. They already said in interviews that this is the Prime universe, which is the original universe.
So it does take place after Enterprise.
So it has nothing to do with J.J. Abrams.
Okay, good. Because the Klingon looks really different, though, too. Oh, that Klingon. Oh, yeah, those are Klingons.
Yeah.
the ones with the weird faces. They seem like the enemy, and I'm assuming that's the a war, I guess, with Enterprise or Starfleet they're talking about. I'm really not sure. I'm just excited just to see a new Star Trek properly that takes like the look of the movies and combine it to what you just said, the Prime universe. So I'm looking forward to it, and I feel bad because you have to pay for that CBS. I don't feel bad, but I have to find a way to watch these shows. I feel weird just paying for CBS Access. Is that what it's called? Just to watch the episodes?
Yes.
Yes, they said that's the only way you can watch all of them. I think the first episode will be premiered on television, but you can only watch the rest online. So it's they're doing like the whole Netflix and Hulu original digital content. So yeah, I'll see. It got me interested only because the two main leads, I liked her in The Walking Dead, and I like what I seen of Michelle Yeoh in past projects.
I'm the same boat as you. The race we're looking for, or the beings they are, Spock was Vulcan.
Vulcan, yes. Yeah. They mentioned that in the trailer that she's half Vulcan, but she, unlike Spock is half Vulcan too. His mother was human. She has a human. The human is more dominant than the Vulcan, it seems like.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So I'm in the same boat as you. I find it's very delightful to see at least representation on screen when it comes to women of color. I think I'm very vocal about that, especially for like sci-fi genre television shows. And most importantly, because of what it is from, it's a popular IP that's well known, and it has like an impact in pop culture for the past 50 years. So that's especially a plus when you see women, especially black women, and on screen, you know, in charge of a ship. So that's pretty cool. And I do like the more contemporary or updated version of the entire show. So that's kind of cool, the look of it and whatnot. It is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a hybrid where they might release some episodes on television, on like actual, like there will be a time slot, and then release some on online. So
I don't know if they're doing the Netflix route where they're releasing all of it in bulk, or like a television route where each episode will be released, you know, weekly. Because it would be odd. More likely it's going to be released online first, and then everything will be released afterwards on probably, you know, in the fall or something. If for people who haven't seen it, it will be an interesting way to schedule it like that, or to release it, because I think no one has done that yet in the TV. So. Oh, yeah. Either way, I'm looking forward still.
Yeah, I think CBS Access, All Access, is about only like $5 a month.
Oh, so really?
I'm willing to pay that $5.
Yeah, same here.
Plus, you get like Late Night with Stephen Colbert and
I believe shows. The past Star Trek seasons too.
You do, all yes, in there. Yes. Because yeah. I think so, Netflix and Amazon Prime no longer show those shows. I think CBS bought all those shows or got all those shows. So yeah.
You think there'll be any cameos from people here?
From what I was reading, there are cameos of characters from the original.
Oh, Star Trek, so the original, how they look like younger versions.
Oh, yeah, what? 10 years younger in a way.
I wonder if you'll see Worf. I don't know how Klingons, how they age, if they age like humans, or do they live hundreds or, you know, years old. Maybe you could see a young Worf in here from Star Trek.
I think that's generations, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But generation takes place hundreds of years after. Wait,
that's why I'm not Klingons, sure how the timeline. I don't know how Klingons age. Yeah. So I don't know if you'll see probably a distant relative of him, like, you know, his grandfather or something like that. So like I said, I don't really know the mythology of Star Trek as well as most people, but I'm not saying everyone does, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it still.
Yeah. So that's this Star Trek Discovery, which comes out this fall. So looking forward to that. Continuing on our space odyssey, you might say. Yeah. John, what have you been watching, or what have you watched?
So this is kind of old, but it's still the number one movie. But I think your movie beat it this week. A couple of weeks ago, I watched The Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Showtime, a-holes. Ah!
Some tape over the death button.
Nobody has any tape.
Not a single person has tape.
You have an atomic bomb in your bag. If anybody's gonna have tape, it's you.
I have to do everything.
You are wasting a lot of time.
That's a really bad sign.
So I watched this a couple of weeks. I'm trying to think freshly how I feel about it, because I think I haven't only watched it once, and I had really mixed feelings about the movie. I enjoyed it. I really liked it. I don't like it as much as part one, maybe because part one really surprised me as a new way of telling the MCU stories and stuff like that. It was very different from the rest of them. This one is more of that, but times probably 10. There are things I don't like. So the things I don't really like about the movie,
you're gonna start off with the things you don't like already.
Yes, yes. Okay. Just because to get it out of the way, because these are just little minor things. I didn't like hate it because of this or anything like that. These are just minor things because it just got really repetitive for me, and then it didn't really make an impact. And I think the number one thing for me was every scene almost ends with a joke or a punchline, and I feel like it really when you end scenes like that, it doesn't feel like it's new throughout the whole movie. It literally felt like every scene that had no funny, like felt like a drama, always ended with a comedy or one little punchline from a character. And I get that that's how Guardians was in the first one too. But there was moments I remember in Guardians where it's very like dramatic. And then I know how the first one, spoilers, ends with a very comedic way. But I felt like they balanced that comedic and the drama very well. And you actually feel for the character. And they do it here too. But I just felt like that was too much in this movie. But that was like my minor gripe about the movie. The things I really like though are the jokes too. So, but not the jokes landing after like a dramatic scene. It's mostly they did a wonderful job like building up all the characters, especially the new ones. And there was a one character named Mantis that's played by I forgot her name. Yeah, I totally forgot her name.
Which one?
The one who played Mantis.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot.
Oh, Palm Clementif. Palm Clementif. Yeah, I don't ever heard of her, but she's very new. But she played a very, like, not like a very innocent character. And she played it well against, what's his name? Not Vin Diesel. Dave Bautista character. Drax. So he played, those two worked really well with each other. Zoe Saldana, Gamora, and Karen Gillian's Nebula. Yeah, Nebula. So they played sisters in the first one, and they too were playing well. Like, I felt like every character had a partner. So like Groot had, of course, Rocket, but Rocket was also with Michael Rooker's character Yondu, and then Chris Pratt, Peter Quill was with Kurt Russell's character. I don't want to spoil who's Kurt Russell character. You kind of can tell in the trailer what he plays, but there's more to him, and I thought that was kind of cool. And even what's his name, James Gunn's brother also makes a good appearance, or like a important appearance in here. He played Craiglin in the first movie, and he reprised that same role, but he actually plays more of it. I like the movie a lot still. It's not my favorite movie this year, but I still enjoyed it. I think the ending was one of the best endings I ever seen in the movie. I feel like they switched it up a little bit and made it seem more like, I never seen a Marvel character ever have a very, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like a very important presence in the universe.
When something happens,
you always feel like all these characters are untouchable. But yeah, this ending of this movie really felt genuine, like of a great character arc, and I felt like it was well deserved. And it also shows the overall message of this movie, like the last one, but the how like family is important and everything.
Wait, we're talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I'm talking about Fate of the Furious the whole time.
Because I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mentioned Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah, he's in the Vin movie. Diesel.
Yeah, and Vin Diesel? Yeah. Wait, you thought I was talking about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, the whole entire time.
No. I was talking about Fate of the Furious. Okay. But yeah, go and watch this movie. It's a fun time at the movies. I know you watched it too, Ben. Do you have the same feelings? I know you were more excited.
Yeah, I think
you have a better impression of this movie than I did.
Yeah, I think I was really floored about everything, how they balance comedy and drama, and then also the Marvel sensibilities into it. Like, this is one of the only franchises in the Marvel cinematic universe where it's not really connected to the other films yet. Like, there's indication in the background where it's implied that, you know, Thanos is there and whatnot, but it's never blatantly tell you like, oh, in the end of the credits, this person's going to show up like Iron Man. But it's because of, if it's space themes, it's never connected to like Earth. So that's kind of cool and refreshing all the time. And that's why I'm looking forward to the new Thor film and how that's going to be taking place in mainly in space. Like, we don't have to be attached to like Earth, what's happening on Earth.
Can I mention something real quick?
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of Agent Shield this season, so they ended the season last week. And if you're excited for the space things in Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think you should check out Agent Shield, because I think it's one of their best seasons, the fourth season that just passed. And it ties a lot of loose ends that the show presented in the past, and just they tied it out in a little like bow and everything, and just that was it. They basically
reset itself.
Yeah, it's reset itself in a really nice way, that the future of this TV show, it depends on how well the space stuff is great on the MCU right now.
And so far, it's pretty well.
Yes, I want to see how Agent Shields do their version of this, because they are literally entering... It's not like a huge spoiler, but it's not like something you... it's literally like the after credits scene, and there's no character or anything like that, but they just show something that is very interesting, that I wonder to see how the show will deal with the space things and Marvel and everything, even though it's not like directly connected to the MCU. But I just love how this season of Agent Shield like just tied up everything that what Marvel is going through, and the identity of like, what's the future of the MCU? Is it still on Earth or is it in space? And if it's in space, I'm all for it. Like, I want to enjoy this ride.
You can join the ride in California Adventure, in which the Guardians of the
Galaxy. Oh yes.
No. They replaced the
Haunted Mansion.
No, the tower. The tower.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tower. Yeah. The scary tower. I don't know what it's called.
Scary tower.
Screen tower.
The Twilight Zone tower.
Yeah, Twilight. Until they, I don't know, how does that work in Disney? Does Disney own Twilight Zone or anything?
Yeah, they own certain properties when it comes to their rides. Like, they don't own
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana Jones.
Well, do they still or no?
The Indiana Jones is still there.
No. Don't they own it now?
Lucas? But before they didn't, and then okay. Coincidentally they.
No, I'm saying, did that come with the Lucasfilm?
Yeah, but inquiry, before Indiana Jones was there before the.
Oh yes, 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 yes.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, like that was just a coincidence that rides there, and I'm thinking like the Twilight Zone is the same thing. Where I don't know if Disney owns that property, but I think they just have it just for the rides and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like you said, like I'm really interested in how they're gonna do this space theme, or where it's gonna land and whatnot. I love all the characters. Bastista's character, now I totally forgot his name.
Drax
is like my favorite character, along with Baby Groot, mm-hmm. and the new character
Mantis.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
And like you said, like I like how they evolved the characters' arcs, and especially the ties when it comes to the theme family, and how that actually is end well, really well. Like, or the film ends really well with that theme, and you see it throughout the past couple films, the past two films and whatnot. So that's really good.
You actually see it throughout the whole movie this year of various different movies that have the same theme.
Yeah, they do. Alien Covenant has.
They do have the same as family? That'd be interesting. No. You're a family xenomorph.
No. Yeah, you're almost there, actually. I just realized that. Like, the way you just said that is kind of funny. But yeah, so I highly recommend Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. There's a really... You could stay after credits. There's like 5 after credits scenes. I think they're worthy if you're a fan of the films.
The comics. Because some of those I had no idea what's happening.
Yeah, me too. Like, there are 3 of them out of the 5 that I had no idea what's happening to.
Mm-hmm.
Then they explain Stan Lee's role in all these films, and this is kind of interesting. I think because he's getting older, they're afraid to lose him, so they had to add this scene really quick.
Well, they film all his scenes from the next 4 Marvel movies already.
A real thing? Are you telling me that's a real thing?
Yeah. So they filmed his scenes for Thor, Spider-Man, and Infinity Wars already.
Whoa, really? Yeah.
Just because they're afraid something might happen to him. And they just had to film it.
Okay. Well, continuing this space odyssey, I've also watched a film that came out this past week. It's a film that's, or it's a franchise of films that is regarded and highly regarded, I guess you could say, to be one of the best alien, franchises, I guess you could say. So the film I watch is Alien Covenant.
You sure about this, Captain?
How do you mean?
I really don't know what the fuck's out there.
Once again, this film is directed by Ridley Scott. It stars Michael Fassbender, Katherine Watterson, Bill Crudup, and Danny McBride. Also, there's another a bunch of other people in the cast that I can't say because it's a huge cast. From IMDb, the crew of the colony ship bound for a remote planet discover an uncharted paradise with a threat beyond their imagination and must attempt to attempt a harrowing escape. So I watched this opening night, or the Thursday opening night, with a bunch of friends, and majority of them never watched Prometheus. I think I was like the only one that has watched Prometheus, and I was even telling them going in that you don't need to watch Prometheus, that this is going to be, if you watch the original Alien, it's going to be connected to that probably more because it has Alien in the title, and that, although it has some of the characters from Prometheus, like Michael Fassbender's character. Or the actor, I don't want to say character, in it. That's a minor spoiler, I guess you could say.
It
has nothing, because you know Michael Fassbender's character from the original is an android.
Yes.
This one, he's an android again, but it's a different character. It's a minor spoiler that, it's not revealed that he's like.
But there's androids all over the Alien franchise. Yes. We have to assume that there's more than one of those androids.
Yes. But yeah, like going in, I was like telling all my friends, like, oh, you don't need to watch Prometheus, it's okay. And then, well, the opening scene is connected to Prometheus. They were totally lost. And I think by watching Prometheus before this, I think it will do justice about the overall arc of the story so far that Ridley Scott has created. And it makes sense because I feel like Ridley Scott is deviating from the original Alien franchise and creating another sort of franchise that is offset, with Michael Fassbender being like the glue to all of this. And quickly, like on Twitter, I said it was immersive, thought-provoking, and quite stunning. Stunning in the sense that the cinematographer had this beautiful way of using light. So the way he uses light is basically like most of the scenes, and they frame the scenes, it's complete darkness, and you have this mere light that's peering through like anything that has lights in it, you know, like whether it's from the ceiling and whatnot, which is really beautiful. And then the story continues to be complex, yet bracing its mythology of horror and despair. And when I was writing that, because I feel like these, especially if you watch Prometheus, it ends in despair. Like there's little hope what is going to happen. And I think this continues that, where there might be little hope again. I'm not trying to spoil it for you, but I feel like these, because they need sequels, it ends in a very, probably not a, it's probably, you would probably think it's disappointing in a sense. I know when it comes to this film, it's among filmmakers and critics, it's contentious. Like there's a divided line whether people think this is great or bad. And I believe that's what Ridley Scott's intent for. Like he wanted a dense story, but also intriguing, and taking many risks like this while sustaining his vision is going to, you know, react to some people as being like not a great way of still evolving the story of Alien.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in part with Prometheus, and it's because what had happened in Prometheus. John, do you remember what happened in Prometheus?
Yes, like the very most ending of the things.
Yeah.
I remember Charlize Theron character did outrun a giant ship falling.
Wait, whose character?
Charlize Theron?
Is she in that film? I don't remember.
Was she in the... it was a person
you're right,
in there.
You're right. It was Prometheus. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Wow. You're literally telling me. Okay, never
mind. Yeah. She was one of the people leading that crew. Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Dang, I forgot that she was in that film. I only remember the other character. I forgot her name.
It seems like you don't remember her at all.
Yeah. Elizabeth, that's her name.
I know what you're talking about. So I was wondering, so in Prometheus, some of it, I remember there's a story in Prometheus that Damon Lindelof helped write some of the ending of that movie. And it shows a lot in the ending of that movie. One of the aspects, I don't know if Damon Lindelof or if Ridley Scott wrote this in. But there's in the story in Prometheus, there's a thing about religion. Is there anything about that in Alien?
Yes, it is. Okay. Those themes of religion.
Yeah, the theme. Yeah.
Some say like this film is the story of Lucifer. And if you know the story of Lucifer and why he became Satan, if listeners don't know, like Lucifer used to be an angel for God, and he fallen because he wanted the same powers of God. So that is a hint of like probably the subplot of this film. And I won't say who wants that power, but once you have that in your mind, I think this is why I feel like this film is really great, because of that. Because you're taking these religious undertones and applying it into a space. It's in space. And I think it's hidden there, but people don't realize it until you actually like dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think he kind of retconned it. I don't know who are the writers. I know Ridley Scott isn't the main writer here. I forgot who are the other ones. But they kind of retcon what happened in the ending of the Prometheus film, and then they added to it. And then
How can you retcon into that film? Like,
I can't unless tell you. Yeah.
If you do like time travel or something.
No. They do something where they explain the intentions of a certain
character.
I
get it.
Yeah, so that's Alien Covenant. I highly recommend it if you're a fan of Prometheus. But if you're going in looking for an alien film, there's glimpses of it. There's little, I guess you could say, homage of it in here, especially with the character that Catherine Waterston is playing. But overall, she's not Ripley, and she's not, you know, she's not as badass as Scher. She's moderate. She's smart in here, but I don't think she has the same vibe as what Sigourney Weaver did with that character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she kind of looks like her though.
No, not really. If you
well, I mean, like that typical outfit that everyone knows.
Yeah. I mean, character. They did that because of that reason.
Okay.
Yeah,
with the tank top, gun, short hair, type look.
I mean, that's the homage I think they're trying to fulfill. When you watch that trailer gives away nothing in the film.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it then, because I was afraid that the trailer was giving out too much.
No. I see this complaint that the people in all these films are pretty dumb, even though they're supposed to be like scientists, engineers, like the smartest people in the world. But in my mind, I kind of reason out like they're probably the smartest people, but they probably never predicted that they'll be in this predictment. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
there's a xenomorph chasing you. How do you prepare for that?
I mean, there's a new alien life that we never encountered.
Yeah,
and you're millions of years off of Earth.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. Well, millions. It's actually thousands.
Oh, thousands.
This literally takes place 100 years from now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Or 2,000 years from now. Okay. Or no, 100 years, because it's 2,104.
Okay.
Yeah. So apparently
what
we're
going
to be
Prometheus
traveling
take?
10 years before that. So
okay.
Yeah. So this takes place 15 years before the original Alien film. And 10 years before Prometheus.
And we have to remember, all these are different crews of different, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
They're not all, like, reporting to one, well.
No, well, the first one was, the first one was, but this is a different crew now, a different team of people, yeah. Well, no, they're still connected because of the Michael Fassbender character, that's why.
Can't wait how they someday make Alien vs. Predator 3 and then tell the story of how this all happened, you know.
Yeah.
Like they did in the other two films. they should do that, actually. Like, just do Alien versus Predator 3, and it still takes place in Earth, but it's like 100 or 300 years after Earth. And we have, like, this technology. We know about aliens, about predators and stuff, and
we're just going to battle them?
Yeah, no, we put them into battle. That's the thing. And it's them fighting their way out, and they have to lead a charge of different aliens, you know, species, and to break free from Earth.
Yeah.
You want to write the script for that?
No, I don't want to. I mean, you could write it. I don't.
One alien's named Ridley.
Well, okay. You're gonna
Now you're on board, aren't you? Yeah. You're like, wait, sign the checks here. John, Ben, Abaya brothers or siblings. I don't know how if we're going to film, I don't know what we'll call ourselves.
Probably the Abaya brothers.
Or just Abaya. You know, break that thing. Like, we can put other Abayas in here. Like, we know a cousin named Abaya. Here, you come in here.
Yeah. Everything. Okay. Yeah. So moving on from that, continuing to our Space Odyssey is our main discussion. This week's main discussion is a video game that came out this past week. It is a sequel to Injustice: Gods Among Us. This week's main discussion is Injustice 2.
And lust for power enslaves all. Such folly and futility in the grand design. Curious how lines once clearly defined become blurred. Perhaps it is time for them to be redrawn.
That is a glimpse of the trailer from Injustice 2. It is developed by NetherRealm Studios, published by Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment, directed by Ed Boon of the Mortal Kombat fame, I guess you could say. NetherRealm also developed the past couple of Mortal Kombat video games. So it has a lot of the Mortal Kombat blueprint in here. It's a direct sequel to Injustice: Gods Among Us, so it's a continuation of that. Anyway, so I don't want to get into it of how the story is because I've never played Injustice: Gods Among Us. All I can say is that they sort of justify of how, why, and where these DC supervillains and superheroes, why they're fighting. And I think it's worthy. I think it's justified why they're doing it. Other than that, John, I know this is a little bit of a disclosure, is that myself and John actually played the game in two different platforms. I played it on the Xbox One, and John, you played it on the iOS.
Oh, yes. Because I don't have a current generation system that can play this game. I decided to try to review this game on the mobile platform, and have to say, I don't like it at all. I don't know if your experience is better than mine. When this game started on the mobile, they show a cinematic intro. I don't know if they do that too. I don't know anything about the console. I've seen screenshots. I've seen video of it, and it looks very, very, like, beautiful, like the character animation and everything like that. And I'm not going to say, like, bad things about the mobile. It's a mobile game. Very different style, different way to basically get your money, because it's free on mobile, but you have to pay for other things, like... do you guys have loot boxes type of things where you have to open up by collecting like these like a currency type thing in the console version?
So, yes, they're actually called the gear system, okay. Which is like a loot dropping system, which I don't use, but they use the same mechanics of an RPG. So, like, the players reward because of their experience, and they get like certain loots. For that will help them in their stats, like strength, okay. Defense.
So there's a similar thing here, yeah. Too. But you don't have to pay additional money for it, right? Or
well, you can. There's a micro.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be dumb. I didn't really dive into any of these type of features on the game. But I guess you could buy stuff called source crystals, which is like just currency in the game.
Yeah, fighting games have that now, yeah. Especially in mobile.
So, like, playing this game as being a fighting game, which is, I've never played it with this type of, features or systems, it was all new to me, which I didn't really dive into. But anyway, continue on.
So, yeah, I played the mobile version on iOS. If you ever played the Marvel or the WWE fighting games, a similar style of fighting. You basically have if you tap the screen, you punch. If you slide back, you go backwards. If you slide up, you jump. If you can slide forward to run, and then there's virtual buttons, or like, you know, the UI have virtual buttons basically, because it's on the touch screen, you can't physically touch it. So on your right side, there's special moves for each character. I only played maybe a good hour or two of this because I've seen this type of mobile fighting game before, where you fight through each character, you get points, there's a story mode and everything, and it gets really, really repetitive because all you're doing is tapping that machine or the screen and watching all these things fly really quickly. And because of mobile version, the screen is cluttered with all these icons. You can accidentally hit this thing you didn't want to hit to do this one move. Just very chaotic feel to it. Going in, I knew I won't like this because it's so similar to the previous games I played. I liked the character designs of these characters. That's why I was like, oh, cool. But because it's a lower version, it doesn't look as crisp or nice. The polygon count is really low. Every character just looks very smooth, and that's it. They don't have like real definition to their faces or anything like that. I won't continue the game at all. It looked nice. So I'm like, oh, I wish I was playing the console version. I feel bad that I'm reviewing this. Giving my impressions because it's just a mobile game. I'm not saying that mobile games are not great. I don't think fighting mobile games are that interesting. No one did anything. This game does not do anything interesting, new or anything like that to expand the genre on mobile. And it's kind of hard to do that. Like it's literally you can every other company just copies each other. So it just feels like that. They do have like that similar thing, and I think the console where you can upgrade your suit, so you can have like different armor on your characters, and each one has a. Do you guys in the console? Is there a star program or a star thing? Like 4-star Batman, 2-star this.
Yes.
So they do that. Oh, huh. Yeah. I thought that was just a mobile thing because all the fighting games I played on mobile have that.
Well, it's something similar where certain, I guess, skins of costumes.
Yes. But each one has a different, like, ability. This armor has a 2-star, but you can get 3-star if you make this. You can, like, they go by cards-ish type style.
Yeah, there's a card thing.
Going on too, yeah. If you can't play the console version, skip this one. I don't know, try to play the console version. I don't know. I really want to play the console version. I've seen so many like videos of people play this game, and especially the story mode. So there is a story mode in the mobile version, but it doesn't do justice, or it does injustice of how it tells a story, because I love how the Mortal Kombat or how NetherRealms do story modes, where they do the cinematic view and then the camera like tilts a little bit into a fighting style. I love that, how they do that. It just makes you more immersed and it doesn't break the flow of the game or the story. And this game doesn't do that at all, or this mobile version. Just don't play this game or the mobile version of this game.
you said it doesn't break the flow of some of the cinematics. It does break the flow in one instance. I don't know if it is presented in the iOS version, but no. When you do, yeah, when you do defeat one of your the people or the villains, it does this weird thing where they fall down, and when they were like standing up,
that's a Mortal Kombat thing, though.
Yeah, yeah, it feels
they just
really,
collapse, right?
Yeah, they collapse. It's really weird. Yeah,
that's a fighting thing, actually. I've seen that in other.
It doesn't seem too seamless, so it's kind of irritating to see sometimes. Mm-hmm. As for the console games, the Xbox One particularly, the game is addicting for the fact that the story is well told. It's kind of insane, the story too. You are introduced to so many characters in here, that characters that you probably never heard of. And I think because what I read, the first game introduced the multiverse, and so you have these different variations of certain DC characters, and I'm assuming that's how they like justify why you're fighting your super friends and the buddies of yours. The writing here is very comic booky in a sense of like how they'd speak and how they talk to one of each other, but I think it justifies it, although like things seem more gritty and serious in this game, it's still fun for the dialogue. It's weird when people say, "Hey, Batman," or no, some characters actually say their actual name. Like I just realized, like Oliver, Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Like they actually use their, like all the Super Friends characters all say their actual names, while the super villains usually say like their names, you know, whether it's Catwoman and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when they introduce characters, they're characters that are like. John, do you know who Dr. Fate is? Probably you do.
No, I don't. I heard of him, but if you like told me how he looks like, I have no idea.
Yeah, like I didn't know anything about. I've seen him, and I seen him on like we used to like collect cards. But I've like when he showed up, I was like, oh, that's his whole deal. Like I didn't know that. And then like you have someone who's owned by the DC property, but I didn't even know he was like a DC character, Swamp Thing that shows
yes,
up.
Yes, he is. He was part of Vertigo.
Yeah.
So anything part of Vertigo is a DC property. So
like the people of Watchmen will be part of DC. I mean, yeah. I think their next run for the DC universe is connected to Dr. Manhattan. Anyway,
wait, and the Injustice thing?
No.
Are you talking about Rebirth? I know Rebirth is doing that. The comic books. Yes.
So I'm assuming that's what Injustice 3 might be. I didn't finish the story. There are 15 chapters in the story, and you play about 72 characters, I think. Mm-hmm. But I've only played about 5 chapters. It is a long game. I feel like it's a long game in the sense of, like, I think I'm so used to, like, Street Fighter and the original Street Fighter, the original Mortal Kombat, where to beat the game, it takes you, like, 30 minutes only to an hour. This one takes literally hours to beat. But, yeah, like, the cinematics are really great. The way they intertwine the stories from like the comic book world and the new DC cinematic universe and a lot of stuff, like they're combining, and then you have a sense, even like the animated series, like they're using the same voice actor from the animated series, I believe so, for Batman.
Oh, Kevin Conroy?
I think so. I believe so. He's doing a good impression of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think like you said, like everyone's look is really great. They did I was gonna say like the Joker is kind of lame in this one, but
the Joker?
I think they were going for the Suicide Squad film Joker.
Does he have tattoos?
He has one tattoo, but he looks very gothic. Like he looks like he's from a band. He parts his hair in one side. His face.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks weird.
To be a different skin for that.
probably. But yeah, like the designs of all the characters are really great. My favorite design is probably Scarecrow when he gets to the. They took some of Christopher Nolan's character design and also like the character design in like the television show, animated series.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my impression of the game so far. I'm probably going to continue on this. I don't know the story that well to explain the story. A lot of it has to do with Brainiac. Yeah, a lot of it has to do with that in the previous game. This is not a spoiler, because if you played the previous game, that Superman killed the Joker because the Joker killed Lois Lane. And these are the repercussions of that. Like, someone who's supposed to be, like, you know, about truth and justice killed somebody. And then it's basically Batman versus Superman, but in teams now. Like, mm-hmm. Batman's team versus Superman's team. But, you know, in the end...
So they're having another civil war among themselves?
Yeah, but this is not Marvel. I thought Marvel is Civil War. okay. I don't know. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I think Brainiac is going to be the ultimate enemy because he's showing up a lot in here.
And they have to combine their powers to defeat Brainiac, right? That's the thing they most.
So Brainiac is here because he sensed that the reason why Krypton exploded is because of him. And then he sensed that there's other beings, Kryptons, on other planets. So he went to Earth because he sensed that he's like the greatest one, Superman.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so how's the Joker alive when he died in the last game? Is there an explanation for that?
Yeah, this is not a spoiler. It's because Harley Quinn is hit by the Scarecrow's toxic gas. So she's imagining it.
Oh, so he's not affecting no one.
No.
My other, I'm wondering too, did you play as Sub-Zero in this game? Because apparently he's in this game.
No, I don't think Sub-Zero, from what I've seen.
Wait, he's probably a DLC character later.
Probably, because what I've seen in the chapter titles, I don't think Sub-Zero comes in at all. Mm-hmm. Unless there's like, they go to the multiverse, somehow he comes in. My favorite character so far to play as is the Flash and Green Arrow. Because I think when I play characters, I'm a, what do you call that? Someone that's not too close.
I forgot. You're not a melee character. You're like a distanced character.
Yeah, I forgot what they're called.
Yeah,
Green Arrow is a distance character. And so, not the Flash isn't, but Flash has like the best moves in the game, mm-hmm. I feel like. Green Arrow has like the second best move. Batman's cool. I feel like he's just, if you've played all the Arkham Asylum games, it's the same sort of deal. But yeah, that's our review or our impressions of Injustice 2. It is out on all the consoles. Oh, not all the consoles.
It's out on everything almost. Except
it's out on all the platforms, Android, iOS, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Not yet on Switch, I believe.
I don't think it's on PC too.
Yeah, it's on PC. I think.
No, it's not out in PC.
No, I don't think it is. That's what I said. Like, I think because of what happened in, I remember Injustice Gods Among Us, they had a really bad PC port. So. Mm. I don't think they're going for that anymore. So before we leave, I want to add this to our 17 freaking awesome things in 2017. So far, we have Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, the photography of Ren Hong, the film Get Out, the television show Samurai Jack, and the film John Wick Chapter 2. So this is Aziz Ansari's and Alan Young's television show on Netflix titled Master of None, which is the season 2, the season 2 of Master of None. So I'm adding this because I was a fan of season 1, which came out almost like 3 years ago, which I was it felt like a couple years or a year ago.
They kind of left it with like a semi-cliffhanger. Like they could have ended it in season 1 if it was never picked up. But they ended it in a way where you want to know the story. Like what would happen.
And then just like season 1, they talk about social, political, a lot of racial commentary, especially of like today's implications of those things. But I think the best thing about this show, for any show, is how they use empathy. Like, because they are Asian American writers, and is a mainly Asian American television show, which isn't really represented in television, especially on cable or even broadcast television.
Well, there's one show that's
That's the thing, is like this was created before Fresh Out the Boat.
Oh, it was? Yeah, oh, I did not know that.
Like if you look into it, like Fresh Out the Boat was created after this, which was kind of like crazy because I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize that. I believe so. That's what I remember researching it. But then Aziz and Alan continue on from season one. And then they talk about like very, very fun topics and also very deep topics, I mm-hmm. could probably say. There's a wonderful episode that's called New York, I Love You. Or I believe I Love You, New York. Or no, it is New York, I Love You. Where they, although like this show is main characters and Z's character, now I forgot his name, Dev. This show actually follows Dev in... Oh, this episode doesn't really follow Dev. And it actually follows the people around Dev. And mainly the people who work in New York. And it's people of color who work in New York. Who have jobs that are service workers, you could probably say. Like people who are doormen. Who are in the registry and stores. And are cab drivers. And it is one of the best episodes I've seen in any television show. Because of... Netflix, they get to experiment of how they structure episodes. So the structure of this particular episode is really well written. It's like a mini short film. All these episodes are like mini short films, but this one is really great. I don't even want to spoil it to you. It's one of the, it is heartbreaking, it's heartfelt, it's funny, it's sometimes it's very vulgar in its funniness. Like they take things in a very funny, like vulgar way, like American Pie style type of thing.
Wow, really? They didn't do that at all in season one.
Well, no, like, not in the sense of like acting, but the way the language.
No,
even
by showing, they don't do that in season
one. Yeah, no, they didn't really show it here. It's more like the language.
Oh, okay.
But in that, even in that sense, it's still heartfelt. Like mm-hmm. it was very like wow. And I think with this season they took many risks because they wanted to talk about like the LGBTQ community. They have an episode dedicated to that, which was has one of his friends, which is played by Lena Whitney. I forget how you pronounce her name. Who is hold on, John.
Okay,
because I had this on my. So there is a LGBTQ episode which stars Lena Waithe, who plays Denise. This is Dev's friend, which takes her character about her coming out to her mother. It's titled Thanksgiving, and it's one of the most well put and well written episodes of this season. And it's one of those episodes where you reflect upon it and just think about like, wow, like that is something that's not shown on film screens as much or even television screens. And mm-hmm. it's really refreshing to see that. As many of you know, if you've watched the past episode last season, he's going to Italy. So some episodes takes place in Italy. So other than that, that's my recommendation, is putting that in there. So, John, you don't have anything to add it on there.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch it. I just have to find time. You said there's only 10 episodes, right? Or 8?
Yes. Oh, there's 10. So, there's 10.
And then these are like hour long or 45 minutes or whatever, how long it takes episodes.
So that's it. That's I'm adding Master of None Season 2 on the 17 freaking awesome things in 2017. Yay. So, John, where can they find you in the interwebs?
You can find me at abayaarts.com. And then, just find me there. I will go put my Twitter account there, so it's easier. Just click on that big little bird, and then you go to my Twitter page. But yeah, just check out my work there, I guess. My things, my content, you know, content generator, thing machine.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find our past episodes on iTunes or any device or apps that you use for your podcast listening. If you have any questions, recommendations, concerns, please email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Other than that, I think that's it. We might be out another week again because I'm actually going to Chicago. So I'll be back.
Wait, you be out. I'll be here.
No, I said that. I said I'll be going to Chicago. Yeah. So unless John has an episode for you guys, he will be hosting the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be anything. I don't even know what it could be right now.
We're going to review Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah.
Injustice 2, the console version. And Alien Covenant again. And Master of None.
Yeah.
So look forward to the next episode.
Okay. Anyway, I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.